You for the song today. I think a phrase that we have all heard and it's probably been overused, but I want to use it as the title of my message today, and that's if mama ain't happy, and you know the rest of it, ain't nobody happy. So I want to use that as my title today, and I thought I would start by telling you some things that makes mama unhappy. Now, if you know this, that's good. And if you don't know this, you need to write it down, because you're going to need it sometime. What are things that makes mama unhappy? First of all, when it's time to eat, you better be there. Because if you're not there, mama's not going to be happy. And it's what mama's going to say. I slaved all day over this food, and I want you to eat it while it's hot. So you better be there. And then mama's going to say, don't play at the table. Some of you probably heard your mama say that. My mama said that a lot to me. Don't play at the table. Don't play with your food. Mama don't want you to play. She wants you to eat. She wants your hands to be clean. She wants the napkin to be in your lap. And she wants your elbows to be off the table. I'm just telling you, if you don't do those things, she ain't going to be happy. Now, if you can't be there for supper time, you'd better call her and tell her you're going to be late. And you better be in the hospital. If you're not there at supper time, mommy ain't going to be happy. And she's going to tell you, you better eat everything on your plate. So be careful how much you get. And then she's going to tell you to eat things you don't like. You can at least taste it. And she's going to be mad if you don't at least taste something, because she done worked and slaved to fix it, so you better do that. So that's one thing that makes mama unhappy. I think another thing that makes mama unhappy is don't mess with her house. If you come in with mud on your shoes, you are in big trouble. She doesn't want that. She doesn't want your footprints in her carpet all through the house. Where she'll follow you. She'll find out where you're at. You left evidence of where you were going. You better not throw the ball in the house either. Mama's going to get mad, because sure as a word, you're going to break something. And if you break something, she's going to break you. I'm telling you, you better be careful with mama's house. You better clean your room, because she's going to tell you, is your room clean? And if you would happen to say, it's my room, she's going to say, it's my house. And you better get your room clean. Don't go rearranging things in mama's room, house. Don't put this there and that the other. Now, she's going to rearrange about every week, but don't you do it. I think another thing that makes mama unhappy is don't mess with mama's kids. Now, she's going to threaten to come after your kids, because you're going to hear her say one day, you're going to be at Kroger, and she's going to say, somebody ought to jerk that kid up and knock a knot on his head. And she ain't gonna do it, because she doesn't want to go to jail. But she's thinking it. But you better leave her kids alone. You mess with mama's kids, you've done mess with mama. And she's going to come after you. You better not hurt her kids. You better not make fun of her kids. You better not mistreat her kids, or you're going to have to deal with her. Let me just give you a little scenario. It may not be exactly all the facts correct, but I think it may be pretty close. There was a knock on the door. Man went to the door, and there was mama. What's wrong, mama? Well, you know, we got a big family. We got 7 kids. And we don't have enough food to eat. And we fixed our last meal. If we don't get some more food, we're not going to be able to make it. Well, the owner said, we'll see what we can do tomorrow. Can you make it through the night? I can make it through the night. Well, we'll see if you can help you tomorrow. So she left. Another mama. You know, we don't have enough food. I just talked to Mrs. So-and-so, and she was telling me she's going through the same problem. And well, I'm going through the same problem too, but my problem's worse. Not only do I not have money to buy food, But the bank came and took our house, our farm. So not only do we don't have food, we don't have a place to live. And the heart was broken. Say, well, you know, we'll find you a place to stay the night and we'll work on that. And then she left. And no longer had she left, another knock on the door. Is this ever going to stop? He thought. Another mama. Well, what's wrong? Well, we're in trouble. We just got our tax assessment and our land went up and we don't have enough money to pay our taxes and it's already past April the 15th and we don't know what we're going to do. I scraped and borrowed and got all the money I could. Now we don't have enough money to eat. The taxes of the government is so high. I don't know how we're going to make it. Fourth mama come to the door. What's going on? Well, it's my neighbors. You know, we used to be good friends. And the bank said they were going to come and repossess my house, and I still owed about $5,000. And my neighbor said they would help me, and I was so grateful. They were going to give me $5,000. But then they told me I was going to have to pay them back $7,500. And what do you do? I mean, do I not take the money and lose the house? Or do I take it and go into greater debt? I just don't think it's right. Well, that was the situation with four mamas. You say, why are you telling that? That's what we see in Nehemiah chapter 5. So turn to Nehemiah chapter 5, and let's look at what these ladies said to Nehemiah. And in our text today, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13. Starting in verse 1. About this time, some of the men and their wives raised a cry of protest against their fellow Jews. Now, this is somewhat odd in that culture for a woman to speak out and say things. So, mama's not happy here. And when hubby says, I'm going to talk to Nehemiah, she said, I'm going with you. And some of you know what that's like. And you start the conversation and she finishes it. That might have been what happened here. We're not sure that that's exactly what happened, but here were some hurting people. And the men and their wives, they thought, we're going to die. There was a famine in the land, and they didn't have food to eat. They were saying, we have such large families and we need more food to survive. Now, many of these people had left they were living outside the walls of Jerusalem. If you've been with us in this study of Nehemiah chapter 5, you'll have some of this background. They've left their farms and they've come to work in Jerusalem. And now because of the threats of the enemy, they're staying in town to build the wall and to protect their fellow Jews. And they can't go out and work their farms. And even if they were working their farms, it's during a famine. And their crops are not very good. And so they're not making much money on the crops that they had hoped to make money on. So now they've lost money because their fields won't produce, and they don't have the money to buy food, and they got large families, and they're saying to Nehemiah, man, we're in trouble. This famine is hurting us deeply. We got a big family. We don't have enough to eat. Others said, we have mortgaged our fields and vineyards and homes to get food during the famine. And others said, we've had to borrow money on our fields and vineyards to pay our taxes. And so we see these problems coming about. You know, the families are large, and then others have had to give away their houses to get some money so they can eat. And others are plagued by these high taxes, and they can't pay their taxes and feed their family, and this is a predicament. I mean, we closed last week's message talking about whack-a-mole, and once they thought they had one issue solved with the sand ballot, then the ridicule turned into a thread, and then the tribe of Judah came up, and then they had to watch their backs, and it just became a huge issue, and Nehemiah has sought the Lord and known the hearts of the people, and he set up a proper defense at the walls. They're building and they're protecting themselves, a trowel in one hand, a sword in another. And so it looks like they finally have taken care of the imminent problem outside the walls with the enemy, and the walls are continued, and now problems are starting to go on inside the wall. Not just with the tribes of Judah, but with a bunch of these other families. Their crops are failing. They don't have money. They can't buy food. The taxes are too high. They've had to give away their farms and their land to pay their bills. And sometimes that wasn't even enough. And the lender took their kids to work off the debt. Don't mess with mama's kids. It says, we belong to the same family as those who are wealthy, and our children are just like theirs. Yet we must sell our children into slavery just to get enough money to live. We have already sold some of our daughters, and we are helpless to do anything about it, for our fields and our vineyards are already mortgaged to others. I mean, they're at the end of the road. What are we going to do? You know, we've lost our food, and we've lost our home, and we've lost our vineyards, and we've lost our farms, and now we're even having to give our kids away as slaves to make money to pay our debts. Nehemiah, you got to do something. I mean, my neighbors, I mean, their kids are just like my, their kids aren't better than my kids. And my kids aren't better than their kids. But they're acting in such a selfish, greedy way. And it's harming us. When I heard their complaints, I was very angry. After thinking it over, I spoke out against the nobles and the officials. I hope you understand what it says. Nehemiah was very angry. I mean, he's had four knocks on his door. And it wasn't just because people were coming. It was because of the genuine problem. And he was angry. You ever get angry? Yeah, this morning when I was in the car waiting for my wife to come out, I got angry. You know, I'm not talking about that. You get angry? This would be a good lesson from Nehemiah. It says, let me read it again. I was very angry, and after thinking it over. When you get angry, don't just blow up. Think it over. Now, wait a minute. How am I going to handle this situation? That's usually not what we do. We just say things, and then we say, well, you know, I'm sorry. I said it. I blew my top. I shouldn't have said that. Well, that doesn't make it right. You need to stop and think about what you're saying. Proverbs said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And when you're squeezed, what's inside comes out, right? You know? I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. I mean, you didn't mean to let them know you were thinking that, but our reactions can be almost as important as our actions. And so Nehemiah is upset at the injustice, not done to him, but the injustice done to others. And he gets angry, and he sits down, and he thinks, how are we going to deal with this? He just didn't react. He thought, what is the proper course of action to take? Well, the problem was lying with the nobles and the officials. These are the upper echelon people as far as status in life. They had come to a good position. These were the wealthy people. You know, when a church begins to cater to the charter members and the wealthy, to the neglect of the principles of the Word of God, they're in trouble. And Nehemiah could have thought, well, I don't want to talk to the nobles. I mean, we got this work project, and if they get mad, they may stop giving to the building project, and we're in trouble. Poor people are not going to be able to fund it. Why, these people, they might get a coup together and try to get my job. He didn't think about that. All he thought about was, what they're doing is wrong. It's ungodly. And it's got to be dealt with. I don't care who they are. Right? And so after he begins to think about the proper way to deal with this anger. And Ephesians says that, be angry and sin not. Be careful how you take out your anger. When I was in college in Winston-Salem, there was a teenager who was killed in a car wreck. She was hit by a drunk driver. took her life. The youth pastor of the church, where she was a member and very active, went downtown Winston-Salem to the place where the alcohol was bought, broke all the windows, and went in and broke all the bottles of wine and beer in there. That's not the way you handle it. You know, sometimes we feel justified. Well, they hit me, I'm going to hit them back. They did this, I'm going to do it back. They talk bad about me, I'm going to talk bad about them. That's not what the Bible says to do. And so Nehemiah was angry, and he said, you know, I got to go to the source. I got to go talk to these guys because what they're doing is wrong. Now, just think about it for a moment. Your neighbor, a fellow Jew, has given you money and is charging you 12% interest. There's nothing wrong with charging interest. You know, if the banks didn't charge interest and the car loan companies don't charge interest, you know, they can't survive. But with the competition today, you know, you don't get high interest rates. You shop around and so forth. So charging interest is not wrong in our society. But the problem here was these Jews were charging 12% interest. And it wasn't just that it was a high interest rate. It was they shouldn't have been charging anything. We'll look at that in just a few moments. And so Nehemiah's got a situation where here is an individual, this rich noble or this rich official who is working on the wall. He's doing the work of God. And he's working side by side with another person who has been hit by the famine. Maybe they were not a poor person at first, but they are now because of the famine. And they're working on God's work on the wall, and they're working beside each other. They can be working on the wall, and they can be working on the wall. But if they can't get along, the work's in trouble. And that's what happens in church life. You know, so-and-so serving the Lord, and so-and-so serving the Lord, and so-and-so serving the Lord. But then we get upset at each other, and we get offended by each other, and we get wronged by each other, and we want to quit instead of work it out. And that's what Nehemiah is saying here. Look, I got to go to the nobles. I got to talk to them. I got to, as my mom used to say to me, I need to talk to some sense into their heads. When I heard their complaints, I was very angry, and after thinking it over, I spoke out against these nobles and officials, and I told them, you are hurting your own relatives by charging interest when they borrow money. Then I called a public meeting to deal with the problem. I mean, this is serious stuff. And at the meeting, this is all these people that are gathering, probably all these people that are in debt and have been charged these high interest rates. At the meeting, I said to them, we are doing all we can to redeem our Jewish relatives who have had to sell themselves to pagan foreigners, but you are selling them back into slavery again. How often must we redeem them? And they had nothing to say in their defense. So you decide to borrow your neighbor's boat and you go out on the lake and you're just sitting down enjoying a picnic and you're just sort of chilling out back in a cove and you look and water's starting to come in the boat. And you thought, oh my goodness, and all you have is a cup or a little bowl, and you try to dip it out. Well, as much as you dip out, that or more comes in. It's a losing battle. You would do well to fix the hole and then dip out the excess. You understand? That's what Nehemiah says. It hits him what's been happening. They've been taking his own personal money and maybe money from the city, and they've been buying back these kids who have been lended out to foreigners to work for them so they could get money. And Nehemiah said, we've been paying money out. We've been getting these letters from Tobiah. Do you want your kids back from wherever, Iran or wherever? And, you know, would you like for them to come back home? We want to send them back home. Give us this money. And Nehemiah would send money. These kids would come back home. And they have a party, and they'd be happy if their kids were home. And then these nobles and officials were taking those kids and selling them back to the foreigners. And they'd get another letter. We got some more kids. And Nehemiah said, we want them back. And he'd pay the money, and they'd come back. And then the officials, it'd sell them again. And that's what Nehemiah is saying here. Here we are spinning our wheels, trying to get everybody back and trying to make everybody happy. And while we're doing this, behind our backs, you're selling them off to the foreigners. This is not right, guys. What you're doing is wrong. And look what the noble said. Nothing. You're right. We shouldn't be doing this. Listen to a couple of verses. Let me read this next verse in Nehemiah. Then I press further. What you're doing is not right. Should you not walk in the fear of God in order to avoid being mocked by the nations? Nehemiah goes to the nobles and he goes to the officials. He says, listen, it's been brought to my attention that you guys are charging interest to your brothers. And you know that's not right. And we'll look at that in just a second. But I want you to understand, first of all, I've been trying my best to help in the situation, and you've made it impossible for me to rectify the problem because you're selling the very people I'm buying back. You need to stop it now. Don't you fear God? Don't you realize that taking advantage of others, God is going to deal with you? Don't you even have a fear of God in your life? And then these foreign nations, they're laughing at us. We're supposed to be a testimony of God's people and of God's grace, and we can't get along, and the other nations are laughing at us. Think about it. Now, let me just stop a minute, because there's a valuable lesson for all of us. Are there things in your life that are not honoring God? In your personal life, or in your family life, or in your job life, or with your neighborhood, or in your church, are the things that you're doing that you know, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be talking like this. I shouldn't be acting like this. Then what I would say to you is what Nehemiah said to the nobles. Stop. Just stop it. Don't you fear God? Do we really think that we can live any way we want to when that way is not pleasing to God and He's going to be okay with it? We're going to just keep on doing it and nothing's going to happen? Sometimes we forget about God. In the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, God called Moses to go to the land of Egypt to be the leader to bring the people out. You're very familiar with the story. Most of you are. And so Moses would go to Pharaoh and he said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, basically, well, I'll let them go. And then he wouldn't do it after Moses left. And then God would send a plague. And the plague would be so severe, and Pharaoh would know the plague was from God, he would call for Moses. And Moses would come in, and Pharaoh would say, man, I made a mistake. I said I was going to let him go. I changed my mind. If you'll just get God to remove this plague, I'll let him go. And Moses said, okay. And he would pray, and God would remove the plague. And then Pharaoh would say, I ain't going to do it now. And then another plague would come. And it would be so severe that Pharaoh would call for Moses again. And Moses would come back in. If you'll just please remove the plague, I'll let the people go. Moses would pray. God would remove the plague. Pharaoh would change his mind. There's an interesting story. There's an interesting plague in chapter 8 of Exodus. You can look it up later. But in chapter 8, the plague is that of frogs. Now imagine frogs everywhere in your house. Frogs in your food. Frogs on your table. When you're sleeping at night, frogs in your bed. Ribbit, 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 all day and all night long. I mean, frogs, you know, I mean, I'm okay with frogs. I don't really, you know, I'm not going to have a pet frog or anything, but they were everywhere. So Pharaoh calls Moses in again and said, please get rid of these frogs. Everybody's going crazy. You got to get rid of the frogs. And read verses 9 and 10 of Exodus chapter 8. And Moses says to Pharaoh, when do you want me to remove the frogs? And Pharaoh says to Moses, remove them tomorrow. I heard a message, one more night with the frogs. Tomorrow? All right. One more night with the frogs. That's the way we are sometimes. I know I need to stop this. I know this is not pleasing to God, and first of the year, first of the month, after this weekend, then I'm going to really serve God. When I retire, One more night with the frogs? Don't we believe that when we honor God, God will honor us? Nehemiah said to the officials, you need to stop it, and you need to stop it now. Don't you understand what it's doing to your brothers? Don't you understand that you are offending a holy God? Don't you understand that the enemies are making fun of us? And sometimes we think our sin, well, it's not hurting anybody but ourselves. That's a lie from the devil. Yes, it does hurt us, but it hurts our family. It hurts our reputation. It hurts our children, the example we're setting before them. It hurts our church. It hurts our witness. It hurts God. Now, Nehemiah does this in front of all the people. And then Nehemiah goes on to say, you shouldn't lend this money. Grant, let me read the verses. If you have the handout, you'll have them there. But Deuteronomy 23 says this. Do not charge interest on the loans you make to a fellow Israelite, whether you loan money or food or anything else. I'm not going to read the verse, but there's another verse in Exodus 22, verse 25, and Leviticus 25, verses 35 through 37. Each of these verses, Moses said to the Jews, don't charge interest of your brothers for food and when they're in desperate need. Just give to them. Many of you do that. Many of you lend money to people and you don't ask for interest on top of it or extra on top. You just give it to them because there's a need. Many of you just give money to people because you know they can't make it. What Moses said, we're brothers. We have the same Jewish blood flowing through our body. So if you see somebody in need, reach out and help them out. Don't take advantage of them. And the nobles and officials saw a situation. They had enough money. They had some extra. You know, football games in town tonight. I think they're going to charge double on our hotel rooms. You ever been there? You try to find a hotel in Blacksburg when Tech's playing in town, and this is true of any college town. They jack the rates up because they're going to take advantage of people. That's not right, but I mean, what are you going to do? Don't stay in a hotel, I guess. I don't know. But that's what was happening here, taking advantage of them. Oh, they got a need. Here's a chance for us to make a little bit of money. Selfishness, greed. It was wrong. And so Nehemiah confronts them. And he says, you must restore their fields and their vineyards and their olive groves and their homes this very day and repay the interest you charged them. You lent them money and grain and new wine and olive oil. Nehemiah says, not only have you done wrong, but you need to make it right. Here's what you need to do. You need to go back to the people and you need to give them their money back. And if you've taken interest from them, you need to give the interest back. If you've taken their fields and you've harvested their crops, you need to give them their crops back. It's not just enough to say you're sorry. You need to make the wrong right. If you can, sometimes you can't. But you need to make it right. You need to go back and you need to make it right. And here's what they said. We'll do it. You're right. We're wrong. We'll do it. And Nehemiah said, wait a minute, it's not that easy. Because I don't want you to go back on your word. And so he calls the priest in. He said, guys, I want you to come and I want you to witness what they're saying. Now, I want you to give an oath before God right now in front of these priests that you will keep your word and you will give back the things that you took from your brothers. And they said, we'll do it. As God is our witness, as well as these priests, we'll do what we said we'd do. And then Nehemiah does this. And basically, he was shaking out any food particles or anything that was in his clothing. And he said, if you don't keep your promise, may God shake you out. May God get you. May God judge you if you're not true to your word. And then in 12 and 13, it says, and all the people said, amen. We like that, preacher. We like the fact that they've promised to give their money back. We like the fact they promised to give our kids back. We like the fact they promised to give our interest back. They're going to make their wrong right. And all the people said, amen. And amen means so be it. So be it. And this is beautiful. And then it says, and the people praised God. And the last part says, and the people gave back what they had taken unfairly. It closes on a high note. Here they are angry with each other and selfishly taken from each other, and problems are going on. That's how it starts, and it's handled in a godly manner, and Scripture is brought out, and they realize that they have disobeyed God, and they decide to obey God rather than their own selfish interest. And the end result is God is glorified and the people are unified together. And that's what God wants in the life of a church. Are we going to have problems? Yeah, we're going to have problems. Are we going to have offenses? Yeah, we have offenses. How do you deal with them? Biblically. And when you submit to biblical principles, the end result is unity. And God is glorified. He did not go to the poor people and said, listen, you're a bunch of poor people. You can't give to the wall anyway. Get out of here. He didn't go to the nobles and officials and say, you treated them wrong. Leave. You're not a part of our nation anymore. He valued both parties. Did you know that most people, when they leave a church, do not leave because of doctrinal issues? I'm not talking about if you move out of the area. You know as well as I know, the reason that most people leave churches is because of conflict within the church. And they just go somewhere else. Like there's not problems somewhere else. They never deal with the issues at hand. And they just carry it somewhere else. And not only do they carry it somewhere else, they start talking about it. They start talking about it at work, and they start talking about it with their neighbors, and they start talking about it with their families. And you know what their neighbors and their co-workers, their families think? Exactly what these foreigners think. You got problems. You're a Christian. You can't get along. And we think people are taking our side and they're really laughing at us on the inside. Or they're pitying us. Yeah, we need to stand for doctrine. We need to stand for truth. We do not need to compromise the Word of God. But when we have issues, we need to work together. You know, in the last prayer that Jesus prayed, John 17, go back and read it. The very last prayer that we have recorded that he prayed, this is what he prayed. Lord, keep them one as we are one. He prayed for unity. And that's a need in our church. To live above with saints I love, that'll be glory. But to live below with the saints I know, that's another story. That's most of our thing. May we walk in unity as we together do the work of God for His glory. Father, thank You for this message. Thank You for the truth of the Word of God. Thank You for the walls, and thank You for the leadership of Nehemiah. Thank You for the mothers that are here today and for the influence that they've had on their children, especially those who have walked with You. And we have so many of those that are part of our church. May we not just honor them today, but more importantly, may we honor You. And if there's things in our life nobody else really knows about, but You do, that are not pleasing to You, may we stop now. May we fear God and walk in wisdom for our good and for Your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you.